Father, send your workers, those with hearts for you, out into your vineyard, reaping as they go. Help them reap the mighty harvest of souls. Lord of the harvest, let your voice be heard in every nation, in the farthest corners of others plant the seed. Some of us will battle in the heavenlies. None of us take glory for those who find the truth. Jesus, your praises are waiting for you. Lord of the harvest, let your voice be heard to the farthest corners of the world. Shatter the darkness, let your truth be known. Gather the nations to bow at your throne. Gather the nations to bow at your throne. Lord, gather the nations to bow at your throne, 'cause you're Lord of the harvest.
Oh, hallelujah.
Bless Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. We agree, God. Yeah. Lord of the harvest.
Good morning. Good. We've been talking a little bit about wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so we finished up with the thing that I was going over before about what we focus on. We want to focus on the right thing. And it is wisdom to focus on God, he thinks.
Yeah.
The name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The harvest of souls. It's wisdom
Jesus.
To focus on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wisdom to focus on the wrong things.
Yeah.
Right? So, I wanted to just talk a little bit about wisdom today. And what it is, because as Brother Thurston said, wisdom's really the theme of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was just talking about wisdom. Okay? And we'll talk about it some more, but you know, I think that the 1 Corinthians church is full of teenagers, don't you? They didn't seem to have a lot of wisdom. We typically associate that, but anyway. So, what is wisdom? What is knowledge? What is knowledge or wisdom and the opposite of wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like Ecclesiastes. I don't like to read Ecclesiastes, but I figured that would be a good place to go because Solomon was the king of wisdom, you know. He was very wise. And so I took this and I looked at Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says this, you know, I was on a search. I was on a quest. He says, I applied my heart to know wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and to know madness and folly.
Mm-hmm.
I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see where he might want to know wisdom, but madness and folly. So I said, okay, well let me see. Another reading of that passage would be, I focused my mind to learn, so that I would know wisdom, and the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's see what some of these things are. He wanted to know wisdom, madness, and folly.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let me look at these words and see what these words mean. Okay, I said, okay, knowledge. What is knowledge? So knowledge is a clear and certain perception, understanding of that which exists, or of truth and fact. It has been said that our students learn facts, but not how to think about those facts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've heard. I've heard people an education, but I'm still dumb. I got to know a lot of facts, but I don't know how to use them. I don't know how to put them all together to help me. All right? It said about wisdom, wisdom in the Bible can mean knowledge. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. Right? It says, what was it? In all the knowledge of Egypt. Mm-hmm. But Paul in the 1 Corinthians talks about man's wisdom, the wisdom of words, the wisdom of the wise, wisdom of this world, okay? Mm-hmm. And he also talks about the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he contrasts the two. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't come to you with wisdom of words. I came to you with the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Amen.
Wisdom is discerning or judging, all right? Choosing, knowing how to choose what is most just, proper, and useful to attain prosperity or happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evils or attempting good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to thinking about that. I thought I'd give you a little illustration here. Brother David, what is 5 plus 5?
Mm-hmm.
10. That was simple, wasn't it? That's the kind of math problem our students like to get in school. Okay? Simple, straight, right to the point. Okay? Let's see. Okay, here's one. I'll give this to Mary. Okay, Mary? minor high school student, all right, goes to Walmart and buys 10 tomato plants to plant. Then she goes to Lowe's and buys 10 more tomato plants. How many total tomato plants has she bought?
20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a little bit more complicated, right? Because now we got other things in there. It's not just 5 plus 5, but we got married. I mean, you got student, minor high school, going to two different stores. I mean, it's a little bit more complicated, right? But still, she just popped right on it because she's smart. But we're still basically talking about knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Add 10 plus 10, you get 20, right? Mm-hmm. All right? So that's good. That's good. But now let's go on. And Deborah Charles, I really need him here today for this because he's a little big in gardening. I had this question designed for him. But suppose this student who bought these tomato plants from minor high school, okay, she bought them, we'll say, on Friday. Now it's Saturday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now the student wants tomato plants. She wants tomatoes in the summertime. Good. Homegrown tomatoes. Oh, homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Two things in life that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes. Y'all might think I have a love affair with homegrown tomatoes, and might be right. So anyway, she's going to plant these tomato plants. How many plants? It's March the 25th. That's yesterday. It's March 25th, and she bought them on the 24th. How many tomato plants should she plant? She's got a garden already. How many plants should she plant on March 25th?
For what now?
How many tomato plants should she plant on March the 25th?
It's this common core of math.
I don't have a word of common core, but how many plants should she plant, you know, here in Birmingham on March the 25th?
10.
10? 20? 10? Anyone else?
Kind of early in the year, isn't it?
Early, yeah.
I got a plant yet.
Ah, we got none. We got 20, got 10, got none.
Well, this... see, we're not farmers. My husband could have told me.
He could have told me, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. The thing is, see, this requires some wisdom. It requires mm-hmm. a judgment call, all right? Thinking about this, all right? This is a little bit harder than just taking two numbers and putting them together, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could plant 20 because it's been pretty warm, right? But historically, okay, we can have a frost. Mm-hmm. It's still March, early April. As my dad would say, it's not Good Friday yet. He lived in South Alabama. He wasn't planting before Good Friday every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so David is right. It's a little early in the year. You can still have a frost.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So if you've got a sheet that you can cover only 10 of the tomato plants, you might plant 10 tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if you wanted to look at the weather we've had this year, you might say, I don't think it's going to freeze again. I might go ahead and plant all 20 because I'm going to get ready as early as possible. You see? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about using a judgment, a call. That's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the knowledge that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we've had a warm winter. The fact that I've got a bread sheet that I can cover 10 of them with. I can't cover 20.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that, hey, you can still freeze. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The fact, taking the knowledge that I've got, all right, and applying it.
Knowing how to apply
it. Knowing how to apply it to get a good answer, to get a good result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's look at the opposite. What's the opposite of wisdom? It's kind of interesting. Webster's Dictionary said, if you look at this verse, I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. Well, that indicates that madness and folly are the opposite of wisdom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, madness is a state of disordered reason or intellect in which the patient raves or is furious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a patient here. Implication there is you got someone who's mad, who's crazy,
mm-hmm.
right? And they rave, they're furious. If you're crazy and mad,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can be crazy and just be, you know, docile, all right? But if you're crazy and mad, you rave, you get furious. Right? You just do things for no reason. Your mind is disordered. But it makes you angry. It makes you furious. And, you ever mind y'all be anyone? Mind of any actions you've ever seen or heard of lately? People doing things for no apparent good reason?
Mm-hmm. News.
Recently on the news? After the election? We had people furious, destroying cars, destroying businesses, destroying property. It wasn't their property.
Mm-hmm.
They were furious. Didn't have a good reason, did they? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, that's madness. What about folly? What about the fool? Now, you know, Solomon had a lot to say about food, didn't he? He says, you know, I read Proverbs, man, it's all about the wise man and the fool, right?
Yeah.
So it says, folly, the dictionary says, the weakness of intellect or of mind, lack of understanding. Weakness of intellect or mind, lack of understanding. Now, see, I asked the question, I got three different answers, but they all said, oh, I understand the situation, right? I understand the situation, I understand the things that impact this decision. And I'm putting them together in the right order. Okay? Now you might get three different answers in that case, and that's fine. Okay, sometimes that happens. But folly is a weakness of mind. It's not understanding. Alright, it's a lack of understanding. It's also an act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or with the ordinary rules of prudence. For example, we speak of the follies of youth. The follies of youth. Okay? Why we thought, well, youth is often doing foolish things. they're making decisions that aren't wise. Okay? So, in this letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the follies of the immature believers at Corinth. They're making bad judgment calls.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using wisdom in how they're dealing with things. They're at Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What are they doing? They're choosing to do things. They're taking one of two courses of action, and they're choosing to do things that do not give them a good result. That do not give them a good result. That's why we want with wisdom, okay? We plant our tomatoes, we want a good result. We don't want them all to die, you know? So we think about, you know, how are we going to plant these things? We can go one way because of the weather. We can go the other way because of historical weather. Or we can do like Brother Thurston said, hey, let's balance it out, you know? I'll plant half of them, you know, and the other half I'll hold back, you know? We'll see how it goes, you know?
Right, I'd just like to inject, I hate going to the store purchasing a bad tomato. It's just, and most of the time you go, you don't really get a good one.
Right.
And I just really hate a bad tomato because I love tomato sandwiches.
Me too.
I'm like you, I love tomato sandwiches.
That's right.
If anybody hadn't had that, that's a good thing to eat.
Oh, yeah.
A real good tomato on. Who out here love tomato sandwiches?
Oh.
Whoa. I got the right corral.
Well, you're right. And Paul, in Corinthians, he has to deal with some things. In fact, there was one person that he calls out specifically. He says, you need to judge this guy, and you need to cast him out of your group, because he's a bad apple. I was thinking about you, Brother Thurston. What you were saying, he's a bad apple, okay? He's a bad apple. And the problem with apples, you know, if you go and buy a basket of apples, all right, all the pretty ones are on top, right?
Yeah.
They may put a rotten one in the bottom or one that's close to that. So if you just take this basket home and you just set it over to the side and you go and do something else and everything, what's going to happen? That rotten one is going to affect all the other apples.
Yeah.
And when you go back and pick one of those nice, pretty ones up, it's going to be rotten on the bottom. And all the others down there is going to be rotten. Why? Because the rotten apple has affected all the good apples.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the question is, geez, you had maybe 9 good apples and 1 rotten one. Why didn't the good apples affect the rotten one and make it good?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that happen? That's not the way it works, is it? That's not the way it works. And therefore, we say, hey, choose your companions wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, as mm-hmm. the old saying goes.
Yeah.
One bad person in the group can lead the whole group to do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tell our kids, choose your companions wisely. All right? It's more likely that the evil one will affect you than for you to affect that evil. Okay? Mm-hmm. You got to be very careful how you choose your companions, especially young ones, you know, when you're a teenager, when you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful because they're not trained in knowing wisdom at that point. Okay? So that's what we have to do, Brother Thurston.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you brought that out. And that's what was happening with Corinth, okay? They had one bad apple in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, get rid of that bad apple, unless he despoils you all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Unless his sexual immorality spreads to all of you. In fact, he has something else to say about that, didn't he, later on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To the Corinthians. He said, y'all got to watch out for this. Got to watch out for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the power of God is what? The power of God is a miracle. The power of God is all those good apples affecting that one rotten apple and making it good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happened, we'd say that was a miracle, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Right? And that is literally what happens when we bring someone to Christ.
Yeah.
All right? That's literally what happens when they choose to follow Christ. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
And that's what we're in the business of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to go out and make bad apples good.
Yeah.
We're the good apples, and so we're going that our influence causes the miracle of
mm-hmm.
God in that person's life.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good. We'll talk about this some more next time, but now's a good time to stop. This is time's up, and I see the food coming.
All right. Man. Looks good.
All right. David, would you say a prayer for us?
Father, we thank you for your word again this morning, for it does give us life, O Lord, and we love it. And we thank you for this food here, and we thank you for Miss Ann for preparing it for us, and we thank you that your word just lights us up, sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We thank God for Ms. Ann.
Oh, yes.
I called Ms. Ann. I said, Ms. Ann, I got a cake here I need cut up. Please come a little early and cut the cake.